This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey everyone, and a very, very, very good evening to you. And can we start off by giving you a very big Always Wolves Happy New Year. 2022 started so well if you're a Wolves fan. Yes, we were flying high. In February, it was all looking so rosy. We had a fantastic January. We were dreaming of even of Champions League. And then it all started to go wrong. And March, April, May, all the way through to November, the start of the World Cup has been hardly any joy, lots of pain as a Wolves fan. And saw Wolves, as you know, sitting bottom of the Premier League on Christmas Day, a feat that I think only three teams have survived in the Premier League. But the caveat, of course, that the World Cup has come early. And then we've come out of that. We had an absolutely joyous Boxing Day over at Goodison Park. Didn't play great, really. Played in passes, gave the ball away a lot. But showed character, showed fight, showed togetherness. And showed the ability to get up to, the pitch in the 95th minute to send the rapturous Wolves fans home on Boxing Day in very good spirits, feeling really positive, following up, obviously, on the Gillingham win. And then, of course, we had the big test yesterday against Manchester United. A game where Wolves eventually lost to a Rashford 77th minute goal, falling to a 1-0 defeat. Meaning Man United have won on their last three visits to Molineux, something they'd never done before. But I'm sure that there was a lot of positives to take out of that. And what we're going to be talking to all the guys that are coming on is about the game and how they're feeling about 2023 and the points that they want to make. So let me welcome back one of my bestest buddies. It's Jason.
Me?
How you doing?
Good, good, good. You, Dave?
Fantastic. We've got Chris from Wolf Life, big Wolves fan who power this show. And then a New Year debutant who's asked to come on. We've got Chris. Hi, Chris. Kev.
Hello, everyone.
Sorry, Chris is on the other channel. I think I'm just like, bruv. There you go. I'm still...
I didn't what were you drinking last night, Dave?
Well, I didn't go to bed till about 3. It was about 3 a.m. in the morning. We've got to kick off. We're going to ask everyone how they celebrated, because I know Jason was celebrating late into the night last night. But
yeah,
last year, we decided to organise a 1920s Gatsby party. So, I had a bow to heart. We dressed up, and the producers were all dressed in the 20s gear and glam. Everyone was glam. And this year, we decided to go back to the 80s, and we did a 1980s theme. So I came like with the old, what do they call them? Braces and the trousers, skin trousers. I had a fez and madness on. The producer Emma, she had all the neon leggings and everything like that with all the hair. And Gandhi showed up. We had Maverick from Top Gun there.
Excellent.
Elliot from ET turned up. We had Kevin Keegan in his full Keegan 1982 or 86 kit and stuff like that. It was brilliant. We had a really good night. 1980s. My mom and dad couldn't come because my mom struggles, but like we had the rest of the family and friends, and it was a really, really good night. Loads of fun. And we did an 80s quiz, Jason, because I know you're like the quiz master, but I put a quiz together and I did an 80s quiz, and that was really good fun. And we borrowed my friend's PlayStation, Hannah, and we bought some retro games. So we had Asteroids. Do you remember that? Asteroids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pac-Man, and we had Space Invaders. So it was proper 80s themed. And then when everyone had gone, we were still hyper. So Emma decided to watch another episode of Game of Thrones. So we didn't get to bed till like 2:30, 3 o'clock. Jason, how did you party into the new year?
Well, I burnt the candle at both ends. So I was in bed for 10:30. obviously, listen, we've got obviously two kids under two, and they're just tying me out. So obviously we got them to bed pretty early. We did go to our friends for some dinner, to be fair. So Olivia fell asleep at their house. Jonas was up most of the night. They're normally in bed for 6 o'clock, you see. So we got back in about 10 o'clock, put the kids to bed, and we were just like, I'm done. So that was it. Welcome to a load of Happy New Year messages. And we go again.
Absolutely. And if you were, obviously, we've already got nearly 100 watching live in the chat already. So why don't you tell us in the chat, I'll put some of the best ones on there, how you saw in the new year. Did you do anything different? Where were you? That type of thing. Chris, welcome back. Thank you again for Wolf Life for supporting the channel and stuff like that. Just how did you see the new year, mate?
Well, we had a girlfriend had a house party, so they take friends take it in turns.
Yeah.
So that we had about 15 people, 15, 16 people, plus a few kids, so maybe around about 20 altogether at Gaynor's house. And it was a late one. I think people were leaving around about 2, but we were still up at 3 a.m., which when you get to my age, it's not funny the next day.
Mate, I'll tell you what, back in the day, and Jason probably and Kev will probably agree with this, I could go out when I was like probably in the 80s, early 90s, and I used to go out on a Thursday night, getting about 3 o'clock. I go out on a Friday night, getting about 3 o'clock. I get in on a Saturday night, I go out on a Saturday night, getting about, and I could do it. Now, if I go out like that, I went to Pop World before Christmas with my friend. Catching up and went out to Christmas. We went to the bank, which is a new place. I had a live band, and then we went into Pop World. Yeah. I got in about 2:30. I need to lie until nearly 2:30 in the afternoon the next day to recover.
God.
Dave, I remember when we were going to Ibiza 2 weeks and we're on it all day, all night. And now if I have a night out, I need 2 weeks to recover.
I can imagine when you went to Ibiza, Jason, that was messy. Am I right?
Messy. Yeah.
That was like I said, that was before kids and a missus.
Well, it's true. I'm going to come on to Kev in a second. Abby Jarvis has messaged to say she was on Blackpool Seafront at midnight watching a laser show. That's fantastic, isn't it?
Good girl. Well done.
Yeah, that's a good one. So in the comment section, we want to hear this. Kev, coming on to you, mate. So tell everyone about you, how long you've been supporting Wolves before we get on to your shenanigans last night.
I've been supporting Wolves for 10 years.
10 years, yeah.
Yeah. And
whereabouts in the world are you from?
Blocksridge.
And how old are you?
40.
So how come it took you till 30 to start supporting the Wolves? That's where I want to... Jason, Chris, that's the question you're thinking, ain't you? What was it taking?
Well, yeah.
don't go mad.
Yeah.
I've been supporting Man United since I was 10 years old.
Yeah.
And I've supported Wolves because it's my own team.
So you switched the allegiances.
A bit like the Never Kev.
Indeed.
I know, yeah.
I bet you we should have got back yesterday. I might start supporting Man United, actually, Dave. I'll get to 50. Just swap teams.
Yeah. So you switched allegiances then, Kev?
Yeah, because I was brought up in Wolverhampton.
So was like family member a United fan or something like that? And that's how you got to be
supported? Yeah, my dad was a Wolves fan and I was a Man U fan. And like my nan and granddad used to buy me the old tops and everything.
And then when you were old enough to make your own mind up, you decided I'm going to support my team. Abby says Kev has seen the error of his waves. Carl Whitehouse, he's over there. Carl, one of the members, as you can see from the little logo on the screen, he's over there visiting his fiancée for a month, and he was watching Sydney Harbour, watching the firework display with his fiancée, who I proposed to whilst watching the display. The big question is, did she say yes? And are you moving to be together in Australia, or is she coming to live with you in England? We want to know. SN said, I watched Nottingham Forest match today. I'm afraid they play better than we did. Okay, well, did they win or lose?
The draw, 1-1.
True.
So Everton got a draw and Forest got a draw. Okay. But we got that win. So, Kev, how did you see in the new year then?
Just stopped in with the missus while the baby's in bed and I've played my Xbox, so I'll drink.
Well, I tend to be on the old tea. I will say, Mrs. Wanderers, Emma, got me this lovely mug. Mr. Wanderer. Apparently, I'm the number... Well, she's the number one Wolves fan on her mug, but I'm the number one Wolves fan on this mug as well. It's kind of like a Mr. Men thing, so it's shocking getting tea in that anyway. So anyway, so look, 2022. Jason, I'm going to go to you first. Sum up 2022 as a Wolves fan, if you can, in a sentence.
In one sentence?
If you can. Well, just however, in your...
Without full stops, without commas, without... Listen, Dave, it has been a bit of a... Excuse the pun, a bit of a roller coaster, hasn't it? It's a bit of a cliche, really. But at the start of the season, I think we did go into it with a bit of optimism. I think after following on the last 3 years, where, you know, we got into Europe, we got to an FA Cup semi-final... We did think there was going to be that constant progression, and it does seem like we have gone backwards a little bit, which is quite upsetting, really. When you think where we could have been if we'd have kept on that trajectory. So, listen, in Julen we trust. I'm sure that now we're going to get back on the climb again, but I do think we've regressed massively, and I think it's going to be a bigger climb than we first anticipated.
Well, exactly, because we were at the bottom of the table. And I'm going to come on to 2023 and the reasons behind that. Chris, sum up 2022 as a Wolves fan from your perspective.
Well, the roller coaster word, I mean, that says it all. I think we've got the right manager now. I think we had a big downward trajectory, didn't we? From sort of, was it March onwards, we were down and down and down, but I do think we're going to be heading up again now. Jason's right. It's going to be more difficult because you've got teams like Newcastle, who've got a lot of money now, as you know, more competition. Villa have got spending the money, sadly. I think we are going to be on the way up though. I think we'll be aiming for mid table, and I think we'll get there.
Absolutely, and that's great. Kev, and your thoughts on 2022 as a Wolves fan? Obviously, your 10th year as a Wolves fan, so interesting to see that.
I think we're going to get up before the season ends. When we start spending money on new players and new... Because we've got the new manager. Since Bruno Lage has left, we've been playing well.
So you're a bit more positive for 2023. I mean... You know, I mean, how are you feeling about looking into... I mean, you've seen Julen Lofotege, that we've had...
Is he the new manager?
He's one of the coaches.
Bruno Lopetegui, Julian Large, yeah. So, Kev, I mean, look, you've seen Gillingham, you've seen the Everton game, you've seen the United match. What is your thoughts after seeing, probably saw some of the pre-season stuff as well. What's your thoughts after that on Julian Lopetegui so far? What are you seeing?
He's been a good manager. He's playing a good, pulling the best players out on the pitch first. And we need to sort our defence out at the minute now. We need a new defence.
A completely new defence or just a couple of players?
Just a couple of players, because Collins is doing no good. He's like giving balls away. Like yesterday's game, he was giving balls away in the defence.
Jason, what are your thoughts on that about Collins? Collins had a very, very, very poor game against Everton. Yeah. And I thought we gave the ball away a lot against Everton, but I actually thought it was much improved yesterday. We still give the ball away at some points, which you're going to do. But like I thought we were, up until the formation change, I thought we was very much in control. I never really felt that worried.
Just to very quickly sum up Lopetegui's first three games in charge. Obviously, Gillingham's a difficult one. I don't think we was playing at full pelt. We still got the win, took us through to the quarterfinal, but it's difficult to judge yourself against that opposition. Now, against Everton, there was two poor teams on show. And I mean, that was Collins' worst game for me in a Wolves shirt. Kev's quite right. He was giving the ball away. He looked sloppy. He looked like a lack of confidence. But for me, I think when we went to Burnley for a player, I think we got the wrong one in hindsight now. We should have gone for Tarkowski. Because with the greatest of respect to Nathan Collins, I believe he's a championship defender. I put a bit of a Marmite comment on Twitter and I put his miles off and I stand by it and I still think he is. Yesterday, I think we played a lot better, believe it or not, than I know we beat Everton, but I think we played a lot better yesterday. What's killing us at the moment is, yes, we do look sloppy in defence, but also it's back to the... I mean, we had 10 shots yesterday, 3 on target as opposed to Man United, 6 on target from their 16. So that's still the problem. Yes, we did look better going forward. We did create chances. We looked to be controlling the game from the start, which was very, very encouraging against the fourth place Man United team. But once again, we looked too sloppy in defence. And yesterday, especially, I thought, listen, whoever scores first in that game is going to win it.
Do you know what, mate? On that point that you just made there, I was sitting next to him, obviously, with my dad and father-in-law. And I actually turned to sensational Stan and I said after 70 minutes, whoever scores first here is going to be a 1-0, one way or the other. And that's exactly what happened.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And listen, we then, 5 minutes from the end, you know, we start pushing forward and piling in. You think, hang on, why haven't you been doing that for 90 minutes? Because I do believe if we'd have got a goal yesterday, I think we'd have gone on to win that. Yes, it'd probably changed the formation a bit.
I think we would, and
shut up shop. Well, I don't want to get on Collins' back. He's not a scapegoat. I mean, I had a ridiculous comment aimed at me from two Irish people saying, oh, you're only getting on his back because he's Irish.
What is that on Twitter by any chance?
Yeah. You're only getting on his back because he's Irish. Picking on the Irish players and all that. Listen, I don't care what nationality, what colour, what creed, what religion, what sexuality he is. It's not important. It's, you know, for me, he's miles off and he's the weak link. I don't want to dwell too much on the Conor Cody situation, but I think he'd look a better player playing with a more experienced defender alongside him. We've got to remember that him and Max Kilman are very young players. Max Kilman doesn't look the player he was, unlike when Cody was, you know, alongside him. But listen, it doesn't look like Cody's coming back unless Everton get relegated and we stay up. Then there might be a glimmer of hope. But listen, Dave, for me, Nathan Collins, he's a bit of a weak link. And I think we do need to, like I said, the spine of the team's important. Centre midfielder, Moutinho's not going to go on forever. Goal scorer, hope this Cunha comes out the blocks running, because if not, we're in trouble. We spent a lot of money on him. He's going to be under more pressure than Fabio Silva. And then obviously centre half for me, because Collins ain't cutting it.
That's good points. Chris, you want to come in on that? Again, on the Collins, the defence situation and the points that Jason's made there.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think Collins and Kilman look better with a strong leader next to them. And whether we're going to need to go and get a centre-half who's a good communicator, which we know everybody knows Cody's a brilliant communicator. And, you know, does he make the blokes next to him look better by telling him where to go and what to do? And maybe somebody like Collins, Kilman, they're youngish lads, that they do need a bit of direction. Everybody does. I mean, the centre-halves, you can be 30, 31, 32 and still be a top-class centre-half. It's not like centre midfield where you have to be young because you have to run so much. You know, you need experience there, don't you? I do think we lack.
I mean,
a bit
the
of
other thing is you have to take into account with the centre. I mean, Collins. I mean, I think Collins personally, Jason. I think he's a very, very good centre half. I think he's very talented. I think he's a ball playing a centre half. I think he's got all the attributes to be a real, real top centre half.
Yeah.
But. And I think Kilman's the same. But with centre-halves generally, they don't tend to really start to hit their peak until they get to about 26, 28.
But Dave, I had this argument with someone on Twitter yesterday. Give him time, he's young. We're bottom of the league. We haven't got
I agree.
I'm not having a go at you, Dave. I'm just saying, I'm sure he's going to be great in 2 or 3 years' time. Brilliant. But he's come from a relegated side, Burnley. Put that to one side. We're now in a relegation battle ourselves. I just think that we do, you know, I'll agree with Chris, we do need someone with experience. We haven't got time to wait. We haven't got time to bed players in. We haven't got time to gel. We just haven't. And while we're in this position, we need wins. And the only way we're going to win games is by scoring goals and defending better. We're not defending greatly and we're certainly not scoring any goals.
Kev, come in on that.
It's like when Totti Gomez come on yesterday as well, the game changed because it was getting stuck in. More than Collins yesterday. When they come on, Totti come on. He was getting more stuck in and Collins just standing there doing nothing.
Yeah, you see my thoughts on that. I thought the formation change, it did work for us at Everton, but I thought it didn't yesterday. I thought when we went to a back five, the goal came just after we changed to a back five. For about 5 or 10 minutes, we just didn't feel comfortable. And Totti Gomez, I don't think it made us more secure. I thought it made us weaker at the back yesterday because obviously they got the goal just after the goal was literally from Rashford created that goal with a 1-2 and just drove into the box. And we had three, I think, was it Johnny who gave the ball away or Saar that threw it out for a throw-in just before we, again, us giving the ball back to him.
I was just going to say, without getting on Johnny's back, oh, my God.
Mate, you need to get... we're not wanting to get on Johnny's back. He's been a great servant, but I said it myself yesterday.
Mate, if he was an horse, Dave, you'd shoot him. Wouldn't you? I mean, look, to me, he looks like he's gone. He looks like he's done. And we can't carry players. We just can't carry these players in our team. We can't look at, developing younger players without experience. We can't look at playing players who don't want to be there. Honestly, for me, I said Collins is miles off. Flipping Johnny's done. And he looks it, the way he saunters around the pitch. Like I said, whether it's confidence, whether he's getting on as well.
He used to be ages ago when he first joined the club. He used to score and be on the ball all the time and pass all the time.
Absolutely. It might be a confidence thing, but for me, he just doesn't look like he wants to be there.
He hasn't played for a while. He looks off the pace. He hasn't looked the same player, a bit like Raul, hasn't looked the same player for, you know, since both of them have had their injuries. And for me, we've got, I mean, I'm looking at, obviously, we're anticipating players coming in. We've already had Kuna come in, and we're going to talk about Kuna and Villa in a bit, because he is now obviously an option. From today, he's a full Wolves player. He can train with the team rather than train on his own. But for me, I agree, we need to bring in an experienced defender to help the young lads take the pressure off, whether that's playing in a back two or a back three or just, you know, taking one out the firing line or what. I think on the left-hand side with Hugo Bueno and Ait Nori, I think that left-hand side position looks okay in terms of the defence and the full-backs. But the worry for me is Semedo's always got a mistake in him. We saw yesterday, Sarr got him out of goal, got him out of trouble. He picked up a booking. I think he got substituted because he was on a yellow against Rashford. And then the only other option we've got is Johnny Otto, who's not at the pace, and that's a very big weak link. And for me, we've got to bring in a right-sided fullback, like a Wan-Bissaka type of person who played for United yesterday, who we've been linked with, and he's played the last two games. Mm-hmm. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, do you think that is a real priority position?
Oh, yes, you mean, Dave. Oh, sorry.
For all of you.
I think it's a sign that they want to get rid of him. That's why they played him yesterday, because I know Wolves are getting into him, but I think it's a sign, man, you've been playing him more often now because they don't want to get rid of him. Wan-Bissaka. Yeah.
I mean, you're right. It is a weak link, isn't it? I mean, the problem you've got is, do you want to spend quite a bit of money on a right fullback?
Because Manu are selling for cheap.
No,
yeah,
he's going to be on good money as well, isn't he?
Yeah. Let's be honest. Do you want to spend 30 million on a centre half or a right back or a centre half?
Totally right. Totally
you don't know where there's an England international centre half, do you, David? It communicates well.
I think he's gone over to some blue side of Liverpool. I think Fosun are ready to spend the money. I think they're going to spend. I think they're going to do whatever it takes to.
We need to spend the money on players, but. Like last transfer window, we didn't spend nothing.
I don't know, and I think Jeff Shea and Scott's gone, and Scott Sellers has gone, and obviously got the new Bruin. I think they've kind of like gone, we got that wrong, and obviously conversations have gone, and it's going to cost them a lot more money if we go down. At the end of the day, we've got saleable assets that we can sell in the transfer window. I'm still not convinced that players like Johnny Otto might not go out in this window. I can see the likes of Raul could go in this window as well. I'm not sure that Raul's a priority for Julen Lopetegui. I think another striker, definitely. Kuna, he comes in from Atletico. He's been a bit of a journeyman. He's only 23, he's a Brazilian. He was partying, having a New Year's Eve party, I think with Costa, I saw on the Instagram on his and stuff like that. So they're quite close. But Kuna, as a lot of people have said, he hasn't scored. He's not a prolific scorer, but Lopetegui really believes in him. And obviously, there was a lot of clubs, including Villa, Leeds. I think who else was looking at him? Emma,
who's that?
Kuna. There's lots of clubs in for him, and he's gone to Wolves. Obviously, it was an obligation to buy for 43 million. But I watched some of his goals, and a lot of his goals tend to come inside the box, close to the 6-yard box. He's a poacher. Yeah. He doesn't seem to score like worldies. He just gets on the end of things and puts them away. And if you look at the amount of crosses we put across the box yesterday, when Traore came in, he put 3 or 4 crosses and there was no one there.
Nobody there.
And again, Bueno put some crosses across in the first half and there was no one there to finish it off. Costa got in at one point. He did absolutely everything right. All the movement was right. He cut inside. He created the shooting opportunity. And then he turned into a powder puff girl. And the shot just trickled into the keeper.
Because they're not attacking. They keep passing back to backward and forward to
Costa
the keeper.
Costa Did you know that Costa got into a shooting position and he's a lethal finisher? And every time he seems to get, he just seems to fluff his lines. And
I think he's trying too hard as well. Listen,
yeah, I agree.
He's 34, 35, whatever old he is. He's lost his pace. He ain't the 28-year-old player that we was all hoping for. And listen, you do. You know, if we signed Alan Shearer now, we'd expect him to bang 30 goals in. We've got to be realistic with Costa. He's a yard off the pace, and I just think he's trying too hard. He wants to score. Look, we all want him to score, but we're not in a position, you know, for any sentiment and romance in all this, by the way, you know, and getting wanting the 35-year-old to score a goal. We've got to... This Cunha, he's going to be, like I said, he's going to be under pressure. He's got a fantastic goal-scoring record for the under-21s for Brazil. You've probably seen it. But since then, he hasn't really set the goal-scoring chart to light. He's a high-pressing player. I know that's been publicised about him. But he's going to be bang under pressure straight away. I was lucky, Dave. I think I told you I went over to watch Wolves train in Spain, and I did get into one of the training sessions. Wolves did say don't put anything on social media, but then they put it on social media, and I was on there, so I can say it now. And my mate went out into Porto Banus, and Raul was walking around. I think he'd just gone for a coffee with Johnny, and my mate just directly asked him, "Are you going to stay around?" He shrugged his shoulders. Now, to me, if he was definitely staying 100% and committed to the club, he would have said, yes, I'm staying. Yeah. So the chances are he's going to be gone. Once again, he's been a great servant to Wolves. But listen, there's nothing in between him and Costa at the minute, by the way. You know, they're both pretty sluggish when they're on, you know, on the field, in my opinion.
Do you think that's why he took Costa off at half-time yesterday? Because he wanted more pace, which is why Wang stayed on.
Absolutely. And he could see Costa really wasn't a threat, and the Man United defenders were reading his game pretty easily. He wasn't causing them anything. That's why they had Luke Shaw at centre-half. Listen, he was never the quickest player anyway. And he's certainly not going to be, you know, 5 or 6 years on from his prime. But to me, one player that did stick out for me was Nunes. Oh, I think now he's playing him.
Yeah, totally right.
Yeah, but listen, Dave, what do you think, right?
I gave him my man of the match.
We mentioned the dreaded R word, relegation. I hope people understand the massive implications on and off the field if we get relegated. I mean, there's only one player who'd probably stop two players, Collins and Kilman. The rest, they would be like rats on a ship. So, look, we can't afford to get down in any way, shape or form. Is Nunes, he's going to put himself in the shop window, and he's a saleable asset, whether we stay up or not. Listen, the way he glides past players yesterday with that confidence, we're not normally seeing that from our midfield. Certainly, Neves isn't that type of player. Neves is always going to pass, as is Moutinho. They're not one to beat players, but Nunes does give us that added dimension.
He seems to create space for himself, doesn't he? Yes. He seems to turn himself into space, and then I love the way he runs forward with the ball, and he draws players too, and that creates the space.
He does. That could be good if we've got Cunha up top, because if he's creating space and Cunha's finding the position as well, and that, you know, the link-up play works, well, then we could see some goals. And I think that's what we've got to rely on, because getting crosses into the box at the minute with who we've got up top, it's not really working. Don't forget, Ryan Aitnor is one of our top scorers at the minute, isn't he? I mean, you know...
Aitnor and Pedence, isn't it?
And listen, it's all right, Bueno, getting balls into the box as he does, and I'm not going to criticise him because I think he's been unbelievable, but there's no one on the end of these crosses.
We need young players in the squad who can score.
Hopefully Kuna's going to come in and get on the end of things, isn't he? That's what we want. Somebody in the comments said we need a poacher, and, you know, if he can be that poacher, you know, that's
we want him to come in and score about 10 goals.
We need him to get on the end of things, not be the end of things.
Well, I mean, because, like, as I say, like, regardless of what happens, we've got to spend $43 million on him, and that's whether we're in the championship or not. And you're right. If Wolves do go down, it's not just about it's the infrastructure, it's other people. You know, they'll have to cut their cloth down in other departments.
We're going to be having Ask Wolves videos, Dave. We're going to have all these sales in the club shop. We aren't going to be building any new stands, and we're certainly not going to be buying any new players.
And well, exactly, and like, but I think, like you say, one of the attributes that Kuna brings, Mateus Kuna, is he is someone that presses, and Lopetegui is wanting that type of player, someone that when they go, the whole team goes, and he can play that way. And the one thing that I've been really positive about with Matthias Kühne is seeing how he is when he's come to work towards. He seems really positive. He seems really up for it. The game against Everton, he didn't go to that game, but he was watching it. He put on his Instagram a picture of the Wolves and the TV that he was watching it, and great start, can't wait to get on the pitch. I know that he's been training on his own at Wolves. I also know that the day that he signed, it was Wolves players' sort of Christmas do. They took their families over to the West Midland Safari Park with all the kids and stuff like that. And him, his partner and his kids went. So he got to integrate and meet the players, the families of the players as well there. So he seems really, really, really positive. And the Atletico fans seem to like him as well, even though he wasn't prolific. But he never really was a main starter for them.
I think one of the things we have got to be mindful of is the position that we're in, you know, the sort of players and the type of players we can and want to attract. And I think there'll be probably more business done in the loan market, because which player is going to want to sign a four-year deal with a side that could potentially be relegated? Now, I don't think we're going to get relegated, I'll be honest. But look, Dave, the results went against us when we played Everton. So it pulled us, you know, off the bottom, but we're still in and around it. And if teams around us start getting points as well, and we're not getting points, that's when we're in trouble. That's when the gap, that's when the confidence completely goes. So, look, I don't want to be all doom and gloom. I don't want to be all doom and gloom, by the way, but we've got a good run coming in. We've got Villa away. I guess we've got the cup games. Then West Ham at home, City away, Liverpool at home. So there's going to be four tough games, but then we've got Southampton away, Bournemouth at home and Fulham away. So we've got four difficult games. Then we've got three games where we could pick up some points. So my thought process is, if we can pick up between 4 and 6 points in the first four games, well, then that could give us half a chance for the three games after, going into them with confidence. But listen, there's no easy games in the Premier League, is there?
Well, no, and the games coming thick and fast. We're going to talk about those games coming up in a minute, but let's go to Chris first. Chris, I want your... Man of the match, your performance rating and your highlight of the day for yesterday.
So, man of the match, I'm going to say Saar, because he kept us in it, my opinion. I know he did his job and he's paid to make saves, but I thought that save off Garnacho, that was a fantastic save. Mm. And Nunes was fantastic as well. I'd say rating out of 10, so 7.5. So, I think we could... that would have been an 8 if we'd have just created a few more clear-cut chances, because I think we played really well. We were really organised, much better performance than Everton. And against another team, we could have won. You know, I think Rashford was the difference, wasn't it? Let's be honest. And Man United are a top six team. And highlight of the day, I've already said it was Saar's save. That was a fantastic save.
Which one?
The first one against Garnacho.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, I mean, the other one was more of a scramble, wasn't it? Yeah. When it was a bit all over the place. But that was a brilliant... I mean, he didn't hit him. He put his hand out and he saved it. And that was fantastic.
He's good reaction. He's got good reactions, for sure. Yeah. Kev, same to you. Highlight of the day, man of the match performance rating.
Nunes.
And Nunes, yeah.
And 7.8.
A 7.8? That's very precise.
No. That's extravagant.
And your highlight of the day?
We played well in the first half. It was all over Man United in the first half.
And your highlight of the day?
The same. I agree with Chris when Saar saved a goal.
Okay. Jason, over to you.
I'll say 7 out of 10. Listen, was playing, you know, Man United are a decent side. They're clearly not the Man United of old. For me, man of the match, Matheus Nunes, because I just thought he played more to the capability that we know he can play and how he was promised he would play. And I do think he's going to be a real, real big player this season for us. So Nunes is my man of the match. And highlight of the day was seeing Lopetegui on the line. And, you know, obviously it was his first Premier League game at Molineux. But the way he was geeing the players on, you know, he just seems more vocal than Large. We've heard some horror stories about Large. He was only training X amount of times a week. He'd stopped all the lunches and they wasn't having lunch together. He was flying back to and from Portugal. And I think under Lopetegui, they're going to be so much more professional, and he's going to give us so much more of a chance getting out of this mess that we're in. So seeing him on the line, G-ing up the players, was a real bonus for me. That was my highlight of the day.
No, absolutely, mate, and I agree. And just looking at the run of fixtures, like you say, coming up in January, Villa away on Wednesday. We'll come on to that in a bit. Then we've got two cup games. We've got Liverpool away in the cup, Forest away in the quarterfinal of the Carabao, and then we've got West Ham at home. And West Ham have lost five in a row. All you know, they're looking in trouble. And then we're away to City before we then have Liverpool at home in the, like you say, the 4th of February. And then we've got games against, as you say, Jason, Southampton, Bournemouth and Fulham, who are doing very, very well. But it's an away game against at Fulham. I think they beat Southampton yesterday. But you look at Southampton, Bournemouth, West Ham. I mean, you know, they're all teams that are going to be in or around, surely, the relegation zone. How are you feeling, Jason? I don't know if you're going on to Villa Park on Wednesday. How are you feeling about that game?
Well, Villa are in form, aren't they? And I think they made a fantastic, shrewd appointment in Unai Emery. And they do look in form. They do look very organised. And, you know, it's a derby, so it could go either way. Listen, if it would be anything like the last game at Villa Park, then obviously we'd love that. But I think it's going to be a tough test. I'm not really expecting, I don't know. I think we every game's a must win, it is. And people are saying, no, they're not. They are. Every game is a must win when you're in the bottom three, when you're in the bottom half. But I think we'd also, in a derby, we would settle for a draw realistically, because Villa are banging form and we don't want to get there and lose.
No, we don't. Chris, your thoughts on that one?
I completely agree with Jason. I think it'd be fantastic to get 3 points for morale as much as anything else, but we can't be expecting that away. Villa are playing well. I mean, they played well against Liverpool. That result against Liverpool was unjustified, really. Just, you know, they took the chances and Villa didn't. But I do think a point there would be a decent point. And what you said about Fulham, Dave, you know, away at Fulham, that ain't a good game. That's going to be a toughie as well. So we need to be picking up the points where we can. And if it's 1 point against Villa, I'll take that. And then hopefully get some points against, you know, Bournemouth and the teams around us.
And Kev?
Yeah, I agree with Jason and all. We're the same with the performance and everything. Like we did when we played them last time, when we were 2-0 down, we come back 3-2. That'll be a good performance like we did against them last time.
Yeah, I think the fact that they beat Tottenham as well today, I mean, they played well against the thing. I think the pressure's on them at a home game against Wolves. They'll be stinging from what happened last year. Do you think Kuna will start?
I hope so.
I think he will.
Do you think he'll play?
He'll be starting. I think he'll be starting if our strikers don't start scoring. If he's worth 40-odd million quid, he can start Wednesday when he starts every game for me.
Where do you think he starts? Do you think he plays more as that number 10 role rather than... He's not really a number 9, is he?
Dave, I'll be honest with you, I don't know enough about him. I can't, you know, I'm not going to come in here and say... But, listen, he needs... wherever his best position is... You know, he's going to know better than anyone, obviously. Lopetegui's clearly got a lot of faith in him. But, yeah, he, playing wherever he wants to play because we need goals.
So you reckon he'll start?
I do, yeah. I don't think Costa will start. Costa's had a lot of chances now. You know,
we all want him to score, don't we?
We do. And, listen, it would be great if he come on against Villa and got the winner. You know, all is forgiven. We'd forget about the other, you know. Forget about the seven or so matches he's had, because he hasn't really set the world on fire, let's be honest. But he's coming into a team low on confidence in the bottom three. So what are we really expecting from him? So listen, Cunha, get him started, because he needs to play as many minutes as possible, get this experience under his belt.
Yeah, no. Well, I think if we can, we need to come away from Villa Park with something. Yeah. You don't want to start another run of defeats at the start.
At the end of the day, Dave, if you get a point, you're genius.
My battery might go in a minute, Dave. Very unprofessional, but I'm only on 1%. So if I disappear, I'm not being rude.
Okay, getting that in. Okay, let's just final thoughts before we get on to the spin the wheel anyway, because we're nearly finished. Where are you thinking Wolves will eventually finish, Jason?
17th.
So one above the relegation zone.
If we're lucky.
I'd take that. I genuinely think 16th, 17th. Any higher would be a bonus, but yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And Kev?
I was going to say 15th.
See, I still think they're going to finish as high as 14th or 13th. I've got real confidence that that's going to happen.
Okay, I thought you was on a dry January.
I am. I am, mate. Dry January for me, it's decaf tea rather than full fat tea. Right, let's go on to spin the wheel, finish off. Because we've got to finish off with a spin the wheel, because that's just how we roll. And I know you're short on battery there, Jason, so let's get stuck into this. We had a good one the other night, so here's going to go. Spin the wheel. Ah, right. What is the worst and best song ever? We're going to go with Kev.
Worst and best song ever?
Yeah.
What, the Wolves?
The best and worst song. It could be a Wolves chant if you want, but it's just general.
The best song is, oh, God. Imanes song.
Yeah.
Si, Senor. And, yeah. Oh, God. John Matinho song and all.
Yeah.
And the worst song.
Oh, go on, he's going for the worst song now. Oh,
go on, worst song.
Go on. And worst song is... I don't know. Oh, just carry on with Jason. I don't know, worst song. Right now, worst songs at the Wolves ground.
It's for me, Wolves songs or any song.
Well, the worst song for me is The Lord's My Shepherd, because it's the stripy song down the road.
Yeah.
So that's the worst one for me. And the best one is The Liquidators, because that's our song and not theirs.
Yeah.
Chris?
Well, I was going to say Stevie Bull's song, because I used to love singing that to the Albion fans. And anything the Albion sings, crap, let's be honest, isn't it?
So, I'll be with that as well, Chris.
Absolutely. No, absolutely.
Dave, what's your best and worst song then? Because you're a bit of a music fan, aren't you?
I do like a music fan. I do like a bit of madness, I do. I'd love Wolves to come out with a madness song.
That'd be cool.
For a Wolves chant, that would be.
If you go over tonight, you're going to be singing "My Girl's Mad at Me."
Well, do you know what? It's funny enough because the producer's favourite Madness song is actually "My Girl's Mad at Me."
It's living with you, Dave. That's what it is.
Now, I would love them to come out with a chant, which would be to "Night Boat in Cairo."
Just need to put some words to it, Dave.
Yeah, you know, we're going down the window. Well, I'd have to think of some words. Jason.
There's your own work, Dave.
Jason, when we do the next in-person podcast, which I need to talk to you about, actually, because we need to do it in the next, probably after the run of fixtures that we've got, possibly on Monday night. And obviously, we need to talk about your thing project that we're looking at doing on the channel as well. But I think we need to think of some a new chant, maybe talk at night about the car, and we'll debut it.
All right. Thinking of some words.
Yeah, night boat to Cairo. That would be amazing. Anyway, guys, listen. Thanks for joining us in the chat today. Nice and punchy because we did one the other day. Kev, thanks for your debut.
Chris, thank you.
Do you want to just tell people a little bit about Wolf Life quickly? And the link is in the description below before we go. And then we just finish
Link's
with
Jason. Down there. We're a local company based in Bilston. We can help all of you out with any financial needs. It would be life insurance or mortgages or even pensions or any protection that you might want. And even if any guys have got businesses, their own businesses, we can help them with their insurance as well. So we're here for you. It'll be almost certainly be me that gets in touch with you. So, just leave us your details. Phone number in particular is what we need. And we'll have a chat about what you like.
It's in the link below. So they're a local Bilston company. They've been established a very, very, very long time. And yeah, they can help either individually or if you own a business or anything like that with your insurance, or you do all sorts of other financial services as well, don't you?
You do.
And you can
do everything.
Be in the the link's in the description below. And Chris is the chap that you'll talk to. Jason, and listen, mate, I just want to say... thanks for coming on tonight, giving up your time again. I appreciate it, mate. And I'm looking forward to supporting you with your charity events this year as well.
Thank you for asking me, Dave. Much appreciated. I love coming on. I love, you know, working with the other guys. Kev made some brilliant points tonight on his debut. So well done,
Kev.
Chris is as good as ever. So, yeah, it was great working with some people who know the stuff.
Cheers, Jess.
So there you have it, guys. It's the 1st of January. It's a new year. It's a new dawn. It's a new day. And we're feeling positive. And Wolves we all believe that Wolves are going to get it done. And the future, 2023, is going to be better. But it's all about staying in the Premier League this year. All about staying up. Maybe getting to a cup final. Who knows? With the League Cup, it's a big opportunity. And then if we can get to the summer... and then we can have a really strong end to 2023, and we won't be having to have these podcasts this time next year worrying about relegation. Let's hope we're going to stay up, but keep the faith. Remember, it's always darkest before the dawn. There is a new dawn with Lopetegui, and out of darkness is come as light is the motto, and there will be hopefully a lot more light and joy this year. So from all of us here, everyone in the chat, to you and your families wherever you are in the world, here's to a happy, prosperous and joyful 2023. Wolves staying in the Premier League and getting to a Wembley Cup final. Let's do it. Always Wolves, guys.
Always Wolves.
Always Wolves. Care.
Take care.
Brilliant, Dave.
Jace, well done, Dave. I'm looking at...
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates are already booked in for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.